Well, Happy New Year. A few days in advance, but it's coming. And to some of us, we can't wait, because we're sort of glad 2018 is about to be behind us. And all of us are excited about the possibilities of 2019. You are, right? In fact, you're probably already thinking and praying, probably meditating and fasting. Well, you're fasting for totally unspiritual reasons. You're fasting because Christmas just passed. But perhaps you're thinking, I hope you're thinking about the new year, that this is the time to do it. It sort of slows down this week, and we can sort of catch our breath from all of the busyness of Christmas and its rush to kind of settle in and think about this past year and reflect on God's blessings, because they were many, but also begin to look forward to what God is going to do in the future. I know some of you don't do resolutions. I understand. I don't really care what we call them, but there ought to be something ahead of us to strive towards, to reach out to. But to lighten the atmosphere just a little bit and to give you a little relief, I thought I'd share some of these funny New Year memes, like this one. My goal was to lose 15 pounds this year, only 20 to go. You have to do the math on that. It's backwards. My goal for 2019 is accomplish the goals for 2018, which I should, because I set them in 2017, having promised to do them in 2016 when I thought of them in 2015. Another one, I can't believe it's been a whole year since I didn't become a better person. That's my personal favorite. And you might ask this question this week, how long will you keep your New Year's resolution? A week? A month? Only to hear this question, what was my resolution again? The day of. But I do hope there's something in front of you. I like to have a sort of a theme or a slogan for every year. It's kind of fun to rhyme a little bit. So I've got one for you. Maybe you want to write this down, see if this won't help you a little bit. Here it is. May Christ be seen in 2019. You have to say it just like that. You got to have the "and" in there or it doesn't work. Let me try it again for you. May Christ be seen in 2019. Say it with me. May Christ be seen in 2019. You got it. And I actually didn't just make that up. I did sort of help to fit it together. But if you have a Bible and you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5, you'll find the basis for that potential slogan for this upcoming year. And the scripture is really powerful. Verse 1, Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God. Imitate God as beloved children. And verse 2 says, and walk in love. And walk in the love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And there's our text, and that's why I think this would work this year. May Christ be seen in 2019. Maybe even put a little qualifier there. In me and through me, may Christ be seen in 2019. And what does that word imitate mean? Imitate means to follow, or literally to mimic. It means to copy what we see, every move, every motion, and every way to mimic, as it were, to follow. You might remember playing the game, Follow the Leader. Do you remember the game, Follow the Leader? How did you play the game, Follow the Leader? Well, you watched what someone who was picked to be for that round, the leader, and you did everything they did, right? Right? Hands, feet, body motions, facial expressions, sounds, everything. You had to perfectly mimic every move. Some of you look like you need a refresher. Let's play. Yeah? Let's do that. Let's play. You ready? Okay, so let me, this, because I'm standing up here, let me be the leader and follow me. Okay, now what do you have to do? You have to mimic everything I do. And already some of you have failed. because I'm already playing the game, which means you should be pointing at me right now. And if you're not, bah humbug, or your left arm doesn't work, and if your head's not nodding right now, then you're really not getting what I'm trying to do here, which is play the game, follow the leader, right? Let's try that again. Let's try that again. Oh, so you can't get it right for wrong, can you? By the way, can I just say, I'm looking at some of our kids in the room, and welcome kids to worship today. Students, of course, we're glad you're here. And let me say, the kids and the students, we're not playing anymore. It's over. The kids and the students are much better at this than we adults are, aren't they? They are much better. I'm watching and I'm seeing some adults are like, yeah, whatever. But the kids are like into it because they think they might win a Tootsie Roll or something. And that's not out of the ordinary or out of the question, in fact. But I understand kids are better than this. Kids are great imitators, aren't they? They watch and they mimic. Remember that, mom and dad. I was in the airport dropping my mom off this week, and she's headed back home after Christmas. And because she's 83 years old, I saw this really long line, and I asked the attendant, I said, is there any way we can sort of help my mom? She's 83. So they gave us a chair, and then once you get the chair, you know, they sort of rush you right through the whole system, which is cool. Except for this one man who was really put out that people in wheelchairs were moving through the line more quickly than he was, and he was just pitching a fit. I mean, verbally, out loud, fussing at the attendant, fussing at everybody, fussing at me. As I pushed that wheelchair by, he's like, oh, I guess we're going to have to get us a chair. Well, there was about a 10-year-old boy standing right beside him, clearly had to be his son. And I turned and watched that little boy watch his dad, and his facial expressions and his body language is in total agreement with his dad. He was learning. I wanted to say, hey, pay attention, because he is. But I didn't, because, you know, that would not have been a good idea. So I just let him fuss. But I was thinking, boy, we ought to be careful, because little eyes are watching us, aren't they? Mom and dad. Mimic means to follow. It means to copy every move, every motion, to every degree, with the greatest of intensity, as closely as we possibly can. And that's what the scripture says. Imitate God. So just like our kids are great imitators, maybe we could learn from them about the freedom just to reproduce what we're seeing in someone, and that someone is Jesus. And as we make imitating God a priority in our lives every day, but certainly why not in 2019, with this particular passage of Scripture in our ongoing study of Ephesians, imitate God as beloved children. Let me give you some keys, if you will, to imitating God. Three, and then one really powerful example to follow. The first key is this: to imitating God, become a child of God. Become a child of God. You say, well, now that's a foregone conclusion. Let's just skip that. But let's don't. Because sometimes the obvious is too obvious, and we miss it. So think now in the terms of this verse. It says, as beloved children. So we're going to imitate or mimic God as, and only as, we might say, his beloved children. That's good to be loved as children. Children, that's what we see here. And by the way, kids, let me speak to you one more time. Kids, students, has anyone said to you lately, or has anyone ever said, you look just like your father, mother, granddad? You ever heard that? You have? I know people say that, because what they're seeing when they say that is a glimpse of your parent, mom or dad, maybe a grandparent in you, an older sibling, a brother or sister they see in you. They say, you remind me so much of someone. Don't be insulted by that. That just means they're seeing them in you, and I hope that's a good thing for you. But I'll tell you this, it's a natural thing. It's a very natural thing, you see, because we tend, by virtue of our nature, to act out in similar ways as those who gave us that nature, our parents. Let me get the adults real quick before we get away from this. Have you ever heard the little poem, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my father after all"? You know what I mean, guys? You used to look at your dad and say, "Never." And now you look in the mirror and say, "Oh my." Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You looked at your mother and you said, "Not me, honey." And now you look in the mirror and say, "Oh, what happened to me, honey?" Mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my parent after all, because I possess the nature of the ones who gave me that nature, my parents. And there's a good reason, of course. It's only natural. In fact, some of you may not know, if you're new, if you walk around Champion Forest, you happen to bump into somebody who looks a little bit like a younger version of me, there'd be a good reason for that. That's probably my son Jonathan, who looks an awful lot like me, he's told, and I'm telling you, he doesn't always appreciate it, because in his humble opinion, he may resemble me somewhat, but 26 years younger, taller, thinner, smarter, and better looking, according to him. But whenever somebody says that, he's typically going to respond, "Hey, there's a good reason for that." When they say, "You look a little bit like Pastor Fleming," he'll say, "Well, he's my dad." It's natural. It's natural. It's nature. As we inherit the DNA or the nature of our parent. And that's not an unreasonable picture in the context that we are the children of God, therefore we inherit the nature of God in Christ Jesus. So surely as you and I are born into a family with parents and resemble or reflect their natural tendencies, when we are born again in Christ and the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in us, He brings with us the very nature of God, and we become a new creation. And we possess then the very nature of our Heavenly Father. We become the children of God, and that's not just an honorary title. It's more than what we would tend to think of it in terms as an adoption, which is wonderful, and I'm thrilled to be adopted by God into His family, but there is a natural, supernatural element to this, and that is that we inherit, and so we possess the very nature of our Father. Of God. And that really does change everything, you see, because when we become a child of God, everything changes, and it changes from the inside out. In fact, this is what makes, if you're wondering, if you're searching, if you're looking and watching and maybe thinking about this Christianity thing, this is the thing that makes Christianity unlike any other religion in the world. Because it's not about conforming to a new religion, Christianity or any other. It's not about adopting a new set of rules or rituals or routine. Christianity is not about conforming. It's about transforming. I mean, while we're, yes, talking about imitation, I'm putting incarnation ahead of imitation. Because when Christ is born in us by virtue of the new birth, the salvation experience, when He is born in us, that is, in a sense, an incarnation. As the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell, God lives in us, in our hearts, and in our lives, to the very soul, to the very being. He lives in us and transforms us, and His work is from the inside out. Now, yes, there is an imitation, but not before incarnation. That's the key. Colossians 1:27, one of my favorite verses, you probably know it. Christ in you, Paul speaks of a mystery that's not a mystery anymore, a secret that's been revealed, a mystery. Christ in you, speaking you, Gentiles, me and you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which means our best hope, no, our only hope and ever becoming who God created us and saved us to be is in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus in us. Our only hope and the only possibility or potential of ever achieving the glory of God in our lives is not conforming to an outward standard or even firstly imitating what we see in Him. It's first being born into His family. And you might rightly be thinking or asking, how's that work? What's that look like? How's that happen? Maybe you remember John, the gospel, and he wrote about a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus. Very religious man, Nicodemus. Right with the law. He followed the rules, and yet something inside was still missing. And there was that yearning in him, which is in every one of us, for the God who created us. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he said, hey, can you help me out here? And Jesus said, yes, sure can. You must be born again. Listen, that's in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Jesus, letters are read from his words, you must be born again. That happened for Nicodemus. That happened to many of us in this room. It happened for me when I realized that my sin and my imperfections separate me from a holy God. And the penalty of that separation would be eternal. But also realized that God still loved me and sent his son Jesus to die for me. And there to pay the penalty for my sin so that that sin could be forgiven or removed. And I could be restored in a right relationship to my heavenly Father. That I could know him, the God who created me, who made me. And in that moment of turning from sin and self and trusting in Jesus alone, confessing him as Savior and as Lord, receiving God's gift of eternal life, his Holy Spirit came down and took up residence in me, in many of you, and made your heart his home. That's the new birth experience. It's like starting all over again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things, the old things, they're gone. They're past. Everything is made new. Hey, you want to talk about a brand new year? Every day is a new day when Jesus lives in your heart. When God is your heavenly Father and you are his beloved child, that changes everything. Can I ask you this question, by the way, before I go on? Have you made that faith decision? I mean, you've heard this gospel that I've just shared with you, this good news about Jesus. And have you trusted in him personally? Have you given your heart and life to him? Have you thrown open the door of your heart to him and said, Jesus, I'm yours? I hope today, I pray today, before this day ends, before a new year begins, that you will begin as a child of God. Key number one, become a child of God. Number two, the second key, cultivate a relationship with God. Imitate God. Now, we have his nature, yes, but there's another aspect here, nurture. And in the great debate between nature and nurture, most agree it's both. We are by nature a product of those who brought us into this world. But then there's that whole nurture piece, right? And so a child, a boy or a girl, may act out in ways that are characteristic of their parent naturally. But boy, if they spend a lot of time together. I mean, if they hang out together, if they do things together, if they talk together, if they laugh together, if they cry together, if they live and do life together, you know what happens, right? It's like nature on steroids, although don't do that. It's like exponential nature through nurture because it just multiplies the common characteristics. Because through presence and practice, we take on more and more and more of that person's characteristic nature, don't we? The more time you spend with someone, the likely more like that someone you'll become. I mean, it's practical. You want to catch the flu? Get around somebody? Who has it? You want to catch a nasty attitude? Hang out with somebody with a nasty attitude. You want to be positive and encouraged and built up? Hang around somebody who's positive and encouraging and who builds up. It's the power of association. It's very powerful. It's this, that we become like the people we spend the most time with. Teenagers, let me tell you something. Maybe you've heard this before. Someone once said, can't remember who, show me your friends and I will show you your future. It's the power of association. It's because we are nurtured through relationships. So it's not just nature, it's nurture. Now let's take this into the context. Imitate God. How will we imitate a God thoroughly, completely, movement by movement, motion by motion, if we don't spend sufficient time in His presence nurturing that personal relationship with Him? Yes, there are natural characteristics that flow by virtue of having been born again, but I want to tell you how to amp that up. Hang out with God. Spend time with Him. Do life in His presence. Watch what He does. And you'll take on more and more through that relationship of His qualities and of His characteristics. Can I just encourage you as we approach a new year? Whatever you do, do the Word in 2019. Carve out some time every day, not once a week. Sunday is not enough. If you're only getting a little bit of the Word on Sunday, that's why you're feeling so weak and vulnerable and beaten up every other day of the week. You got to eat every day. You got to take on the Word of God daily. So let me just encourage you, let me challenge you, let me urge you. Don't start 2019 without a plan to spend a set amount of time every day in God's Word. And let that be a prayerful experience, meaning pray before, pray during, in a conversation with God, and then pray afterwards. And when you say amen, don't mean it. You know, I mean, like amen sometimes sounds like a closing, like I'm done with you today, hang up. Just continue in that spirit of prayer and practice the presence of God throughout the day. I can tell you this, if you acknowledge God in the morning, you'll be more aware of God in midday and in the afternoon and through the evening. If you ignore God in the morning, He might have to tap you on the shoulder, and that's a big tap, hello. It gets your attention through the day. So give God some morning, all right? Give God some morning. If you're not in the habit of this, just listen, don't be overwhelmed. Carve out 15 minutes, 10 minutes if that's all you can get your mind around at first. But give that time to God and do it every day. It'll take you about 2 months before this becomes a habit to which it will call you to it. Until then, discipline yourself to do it. But you've got, so one of the most fundamental things, if not the most fundamental thing I can tell you to help you in 2019, is spend time every day with God. There are so many reading plans. There's so many great devotionals. We've got 2 devotionals in our church that will be coming online this year. Mark Lanier, I see Mark over here. He's got a devotional in the Torah. Is it out yet, Brother Mark? I'm going to call you Pastor Mark. Some people, it's out. It's called Torah Devotional for Living. Doesn't that make you want to get into it? It's good. And there are others. But give yourself something to get a hold of every day. I hate to say it's like checking a box, but there's some aspect of discipline to this that you've got to develop. So it's okay at first to be checking boxes. That's developing the discipline that will become a devotion, that will become a delight. So start this year. Don't wait till, what day is New Year's Day? Tuesday? Don't wait till Tuesday. Because on Tuesday, you'll have a reason to wait until Wednesday and then Sunday and then Monday. Because, you know, we don't start our diets until the Monday after, the Sunday after, the Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday after the New Year's. Because who can start a diet with all that fun football going on, right? So listen to me, if it's a good thing, and it is, don't delay. Start today, finding that plan for 2019. I have my daily reading plan in my inbox every morning when I wake up. It's the first thing I see or do in the morning. Before I even get out of bed, I get into God's Word. I'm gonna encourage you, there's so many ways to do it. Technology has made it so easy. However it is you choose, start today finding a plan and put that plan into action for this upcoming year. Here's why. The more time you spend with Him, the more you get to know Him, the more like him you will naturally and through nurture become. And that's what the verse says to do, imitate God. So yes, there's a natural component. There is a nature nurture component. But let me give you this third key before we close, and that is this: imitate God just like Jesus did. I pull that out of verse 2. Verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. 2, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us. So the scripture gives us this great challenge and command to be imitators of God because we're his children. And you want to know what that looks like? Walk in love as Christ. As Christ, who is our living example. And actually, this is the most obvious part that we really don't want to miss. And that is because imitate is actually a verb, which means to imitate is an action. So imitating God is what we're supposed to do. It's what we're supposed to walk out. It's how we're supposed to live out imitating God, is by doing what God did and does. And I've always appreciated WWJD. Say it with me. What would Jesus do? I've always appreciated that. It's a great question. It's just insufficient. Because we need the answer, and then we need another slogan. D-W-J-D. Because when we say, what would Jesus do, and we discover what he would do, we should then do what Jesus did and would do. See, it's the doing of it. It's the obedience to it. It's the walking out of it that not only completes our obedience, but pleases our Heavenly Father. I mean, you know, if you spend some time with your parent or a parent with a child, and y'all have a great time together, you have a great conversation together, and you agree together about this course of action, and you set out to see that action put into action, but nothing happens. Isn't that frustrating? And you didn't do what you said you were going to do. You know, we spent all that time together. You know, we talked about it. We agreed this is what Jesus did. This is what you should do. But if you don't ever get around to the doing of it, doesn't that frustrate both parties? By the way, Jesus said, if you love me, that nurture, closeness, intimacy, if you love me, what will you do? Do what Jesus said to do. Imitating God as Christ was incarnate God, God with us, Emmanuel, who fleshed it out for us, who walked it out for us, who lived it out for us. In him we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Look at Jesus. Watch what Jesus did and do what Jesus did. How about we come up with a new campaign? Maybe some t-shirts, some bumper stickers. Let's fill the parking lot with bumper stickers that say, I'm doing what Jesus did. That'd be a great campaign for 2019. And what does that look like in our text? Well, it means to imitate God and so to walk in or to live a life of love of God like Christ, who, the verse says, gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Love. Imitate God by walking in the love of Christ. And that looks like, you see, what we've seen personally, what we've experienced personally in the love of Jesus toward us. We not only receive by nature that love, but we have seen and experienced that love through relationship. You might be asking, why is love such a big deal to God? Because God is love. Why is God such a big thinker and a big commander and a big expector when it comes to love? Because that's his nature. That's who God is. That's his character. That's one of those immutable attributes of God. That's an unchanging truth about God. God is love. Jesus said the greatest two things you could do is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, he's commanded us to love everyone, to love our family and friends, our neighbors, even our enemies. That's how big God is on love. that there are to be no exceptions to the commandment to love others. And by the way, have you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we learn that it doesn't matter how religious we are, how many rules we follow, how many rituals we observe? If we do all that we do, but don't have love, well, we just don't have anything and we are nothing. Because love is everything, folks. God is love. So imitate God by loving with the love of Christ. There's a new campaign slogan or resolution, t-shirts, bumper stickers, the whole deal. Love like Jesus loved. And what if we did? What if we set apart in 2019 to really focus on love, loving God, loving others? What if that became our real New Year's resolution to love more, to love better, to love deeper, to love longer? What if that was our heart's desire? You know what we'd be doing, right? We'd be reflecting the characteristic of God that is love. And through a nurturing relationship in love, we would just be fleshing out and working out and walking out what God is working in, the love of Christ in and through us. What if we could do that? And what difference would it make? And to whom? To whom would we show more kindness, more tenderness? To whom would we show more compassion, more patience, more understanding? To whom would we be more gracious, more generous with our forgiveness? Who comes to mind? Who might it benefit? It might benefit them, but I can promise you this, it'll definitely benefit you and me. Because see, when we love in that way, we come into alignment with who He is in us and all that He's trying to accomplish in and through us. We come into alignment, which means the maximum flow of the goodness of God is working right through you and me when we love like Jesus loved. And if you got that person in mind and you're thinking, oh, that's impossible. It's impossible to love that person. It's impossible to be more kind and gracious and generous with my forgiveness to that person. It's impossible to be tender with them. You're right. It is impossible for us to love truly like Christ loves. But listen to me. Jesus, who loves that way, lives in us. Just call Him to duty and say, Lord, I need You to love old so-and-so because I just can't do it. But animate me, Lord. Fill me with Your love and presence and help me. Let me, if I can't do it for me, but love this person as only You can do through me because by nature I have the very nature of this loving God in me, in you. And if I nurture that relationship, it's only going to go stronger and deeper and more rich and real. And if I just press play or go and let the Holy Spirit do His thing, then love's going to happen even in the most impossible, it would seem, circumstances. So let God love others through you. Imitate Him to live and to love that way. And as we come now to the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of the cost of our sin and the great price that His love was willing to pay for us on the cross. His unconditional, selfless, and sacrificial love, a fragrant offering to God, a sacrifice to God, having given Himself up for us to God. That's how much Christ loved us. No, by the way, that sacrifice and gift made it possible for us to become the children of God and to possess the very nature of God in Christ Jesus, and to nurture a true and living personal relationship with Him, and then to act out in obedience to loving others. The kind of love that lives in us, His nature, nurtured in a growing relationship so that we can imitate God and love like Jesus loved.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's Word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.